As we go back to our passage, we see his beginnings of where God was training him. And I think that's the thought I want to go with tonight. I'm not going to get too far into the passage, but as an introductory message for this evening. Notice it says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Kislew, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan, the palace, which also is referred to as Susa. Now, I wanted to show you a picture here in just a moment. All right, we'll go ahead and show that. So over here on the right side, if you're looking over here, you can see it. Susa is pretty much to the far right. This is where Nehemiah would have traveled from. Okay, you have the two other journeys that I mentioned. Remember, there were three returns. Zerubbabel was the first one. And then you had Ezra's return. And then 13 years later, Nehemiah. He would come from Susa, which is a very interesting place. That's where Esther would take place. This was where the, again, most of what you're looking at here is the Persian Empire. That's what they had authority over. That's what they had conquered by overtaking Babylon. And this was the winter palace, Susa, where the Persian king would stay in the winter time. But that's where he is during this time. That's where, again, the book of Esther, and that's also where Daniel, the prophet, spent some time. We know that from his revelation and him specifically mentioning Susa. So it's a very important location, geographical location. But I'm just showing you here for practical purposes. He would travel all the way across, probably around 800 to 1,000 miles across the Arabian Desert. And you'll see Judea over there, Jerusalem. That's where the city was broken down. That's where the walls were broken down. And he would travel that distance. Now, one of the things I want to bring out tonight in understanding what is going on is that although, thank you, brother, although Nehemiah was in Susa, because God put him there. You see, he was one and Daniel was the other that had not gone back to Jerusalem. You know, since the 100 years, nearly 100 years had passed, and they just had not been a part of a group that returned. Now, Daniel never did return in God's sovereignty. He chose that Daniel would not return, but Nehemiah would. But up until this point in verse 1, he has not been back to see Jerusalem with his own eyes. He just heard about it from his brother. And we'll see that in verse 2. But my point is tonight, I'm thinking about this. Nehemiah was serving here with his heart. He was in a pagan land. He was under a pagan king. And he was just being faithful just like Daniel. And I think upon the fact tonight is what I want to draw out is, Lord, I think one of the things that God wants us to do when it comes to building the wall and staying on the wall, as we'll see throughout this book, is that, you know what? Let's just be faithful where God has planted us. Let's blossom where we're planted. That's what he was doing. And obviously, this is a no-brainer. He obviously was doing that because you do not get chosen to be the king's cupbearer by being one who lacks in integrity, lacks in character. Listen, the king's cupbearer is not some dude they go pull off the streets who's just has a bad reputation or whatnot, just some random guy to taste the king's wine just to make sure it doesn't kill the king. That's not what is there. In fact, this man had built a reputation, had built a character testimony of honoring God, but also doing what is right. And I think that God will call us to different areas as we are serving Him faithfully where we are, in different ministries, in different avenues, right here from this location. Now, He may not call you 1,000 miles away like He did Nehemiah, but there are areas that He's calling us and leading us to be faithful. And my thought here is that his faithfulness was here. And his heart was here because that's where the Lord put him. But you know where else his heart was? Right here. And that was obvious with his brokenness in the prayer, right? When, notice verse 2, that Hananiah, one of my brethren. Now, we believe that from chapter 7, verse 2, this is likely his real brother. Now, it could be just a fellow Jew. But likely was his blood brother. And when he came, he had been in Jerusalem. He had been to Judah. And certain men were with him. But here's where we cannot skip over this. And I think it's important to underline the next three words and four words. And I asked them. What does that tell us? What does that tell us tonight? That tells us that Nehemiah had a concern for Jerusalem. He was burdened. He was interested. He wanted to know how things were going. Tell me, I can hear his heart. Tell me how the city's doing. Tell me how the brethren are doing. Tell me how the walls look, how the gates look. And of course, we know from the passage, he's not going to get good news here in a few moments. But his heart is interested. He hasn't been there, but he is concerned. And one of the things that I believe he will make such an effective leader and a useful leader and a God-used leader, and this is the thought I'm going to close with tonight, is I believe, and listen, young people, this is important for you too. He was a person that just cared. He cared. He cared for others. He was concerned about how folks were doing. He was concerned. Let's make the application. How's your neighbor doing? Have you asked lately? The ones that live close to you? What about the ones sitting on the pew with you? How are they doing? How are we know how each other are doing? The people you work with, that employee, and different ones all around you where God has placed you. A concern of how are they doing? How are they doing spiritually? Do they know the Lord? Do they know the peace that Jesus Christ gives? Do they know? Do you care? And Nehemiah was a man that cared. He had great compassion. You know, Nehemiah was a man, can I say this? And I pray that God will give me this ability. I want it, I hope you do. Nehemiah was a man with the ability, get this, to feel deeply. Just to feel the needs of others. We get so in life. We forget sometimes just to pause and be interested in others, what they're going through, what they're struggling with, what's burdened them, and even interested in where they're succeeding and where their achievements are, and being interested in that, to celebrate it with them and encourage them, whatever side that is. And you see, he was moved and broken over the need of his own heart and the brokenness of his city and kinsmen. And someone has once said this about compassion. It is your hurt in my heart. Compassion is your hurt in my heart. And Nehemiah was a man that was, and it moved him to action. Now, he had a great job. Again, as I mentioned, he was well taken care of. And he could have just said, hey, fellas, yeah, hope everything's well. Everything's good for me here. I'm well taken care of. But no, he cared. And he asked them immediately. And, of course, they responded. They responded that the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. He told them that the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and the gates were burned with fire. And we read this morning how he responded in prayer. We'll study that in the weeks and months to come as we work through this book. We'll see it in detail. But we have some ministries that God is calling us to. Walls that He's calling us to build. I start with the family. You guys here, whether you're a single parent home or you are in a home when mom and dad are there, whatever your context is, God has called you to build your home in Christ. It is something that we will make a focus in our lives, and here at this church, we seek to. I just think of talking with Ralph and Suzanne before the service, and you may remember Grant has been visiting here recently, and I tell you, it's been such a joy talking with him, and he told me this, and I know he wouldn't mind me testifying of this. But he said, Pastor, I'm going to tell you right now, he said, one of the reasons I know I'm standing here and probably alive, he said, is the prayers of my grandparents. He said, I know they've been praying for me. They'd tell me that when they saw me. And he said, there were so many times when in my life where I knew where I wasn't should have been, where I should not be, I could sense God. Do you know what that is? That's the power of prayer. And grandparents and parents and young people, we understand that God responds to prayer. I like what John Bunyan said. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. He says, pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan. You see, we understand that God is building our homes. He's building our church through our homes, through our families. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I pray that we'll grow in our family altar and just trying to be more consistent. And by the way, don't feel bad here tonight if you miss. Your pastor misses times. Just flies by and I'm like, oh, man, we hadn't read the Bible together. And we haven't... Listen, you are just seeking to strive towards a goal. And God will bless you for that attempt. And I'm grateful that you are in that. You are desiring to do that very thing. Also, not only that, but you saw here on the video, you saw that we have a very important ministry that's being launched just a couple few weeks from now. It's going to be a Friday night. You say, Pastor, that's sneaking up on us. It is. You'll be getting an email, those of you that have shown interest in seriously considering that. You'll be getting an email tomorrow. And those of you who have not shown any interest, you will get an email. I'm just kidding, too, okay? But we're going to have a soft launch, if you will. We're going to begin it together, and I'll be giving you some details in the next 2 weeks of how that's going to look, but it's going to be on Friday nights, and we'll meet here at 6 p.m. But we're praying that God would use it to encourage our community. We have neighbors around us who are struggling. It may not even be a drug addiction. It may not even be alcohol. It could be people just struggling with anxiety. With hurt. There's people in our church that are struggling with some hurts, some hang-ups and habits. Hey, we all, if we're all honest, we all have something we're dealing with. I got one amen right there. We all have something we're dealing with. Yes. It's a discipleship ministry. It's not just for those that are over there. No, that's the last thing this ministry for. This ministry is profitable and effective for everyone. And so what we want to do is we want to see this ministry go forward. We want to see it to grow in Christ, because what we are calling it is exactly what it is. It's a discipleship ministry. You know what God's program for overcoming hurts and habits and hang-ups? You know what God's program is? It's called sanctification, growing in the Lord, learning more about Him and learning to obey Him. And that's what the local church has been put in communities for. So that's exactly what we are going to strive for. You know, another thing that we're looking at this year and something we've talked about that I'm very excited about, because we've talked about it for probably 5 years now, is how we are to expand our sanctuary and basically renovate it. We've renovated our classrooms, our fellowship hall, and now we're here in this room. And this is probably where we spend the most of the time together. And so what we're looking at, we have an architect that's currently working on it and is going to be getting us some plans. It may be modified along the way, and there's no price numbers right now. It hasn't gone that deeply, but basically we're talking about pushing this wall back to the back wall that would eventually open up probably up to 70 seats to add to the capacity. And, of course, with that, the room would be renovated. We'd have carpet, new carpet. We have our new windows, praise the Lord. That's already done. And then we would also have pew chairs that will come in that will help us with our seating capacity to even increase that way. And we'll be getting you some more details on that. But that's exciting. I'm glad. And what we would do now that the fellowship hall is complete, we would meet there once this project would begin. We would meet in our fellowship hall for our services while this would be under construction. And so, again, we'll be getting you more details on that as we have that information on hand. But it's exciting. Those are things that we want to do. Why do we want to expand the sanctuary? Well, one of the things that I have battled about as your pastor, it's like, okay, there is the thought of, okay, well, why don't we maybe just build another building? Okay, there can be pros to that, but most, if you're going to build a quality building with at least a 300 to 400 seat capacity, you're easily talking $4 to $5 million. Easy. And I think we could do a whole lot less with expanding this and renovating and making it beautiful. And if we fill that up too, which I would love to see it not just filled up on Sunday mornings, but see it filling up on Sunday nights. And then we know and have an indication, then maybe it's time to break some ground. But we take steps trying to be a good steward and doing that. But nevertheless, there's a lot of details that would go along with that. But I do believe that the Lord is leading us and helping us and accomplishing that. We also have a missions trip planned. And some of you may get a little excited about this. We don't have it one that is definitely in stone. All right. So you say, well, where are we thinking about going? Well, we have a couple things on the radar. And I want us to pray about this tonight here in just a moment. One is a possible trip to Phoenix, Arizona. And our good friends, Arthur and Lauren Acosta, are ministering there. And there may be something that we could help them with in the coming summer, maybe just outreach of some sort, a VBS. And so I'm in touch with Brother Arthur about that. It's a possibility. It's not something we is definite if it doesn't work out, because our philosophy when it goes to helping a local church for missions or a foreign field, we want it to be the most convenient for them. We don't want to inconvenience them at all. The other one is a trip to Alaska that we would work with the Force family that have started a church there among the Indians up in that area of northwest Alaska. And so that would be definitely a more rugged trip. They're very isolated, and it certainly would be different than going to Phoenix, I'm here to tell you, okay? But nevertheless, those are a couple that on the radar. We also have a desire to do some smaller missions trips that are local. One is that I'm really excited about the opportunity to go help our brother in Atlanta, Brother Mark McElreath, City Baptist Church. The Lord's doing a work there. They're right across the street from Georgia Tech, and we all know Georgia Tech needs Jesus. And so we certainly, with all seriousness, they're in the center of Atlanta, and God is blessing. They're still trying to get the money for the building, and I believe the last time I checked, they were around 600,000, a little over 600,000 the last time I checked, so getting close to a million. But nevertheless, we're praying for that work, and that could easily be a day trip. And that's something that we would try to make maybe on a Saturday where, you know, we could go as a church. And so there are some smaller things like that. And then also we have our outreach here in our community, Jackson County. In fact, I talked to several guests here that were here this morning. And there were two families that were here this morning, one tonight. And it's so good to see y'all back visiting with us. But they told me at the door that they received a You're Invited card and just an invitation to come. And so praise the Lord. We want to continue doing that. That's what Jesus has called us to do. We don't want to just always take the media route, which I'm thankful for media. I'm all for it. It can be used as a great tool for the Lord. But sometimes there's no substitute just for going out and greeting people, meeting people, leaving a personal invitation with them. I think that goes a long way. And I'm not saying it's the only way, of course, but it is a good way. And so there are different areas that the Lord is leading us in and helping us. And I just want to thank you for your faithfulness.